Expected to head a government after the March 28th vote. His deputy has now assumed Sharon's political powers. The U.S. Supreme Court with a verdict in the case of accused enemy combatant Jose Padilla. The High Court says it will let the military move Padilla to Miami to face criminal charges. That overruled a lower court decision which had tried to block the transfer. The Supreme Court being asked to use this case to define how much power President Bush has over U.S. citizens taken into custody on American soil. The court says it will decide later whether to review Padilla's challenge to his 3.5-year military detention. Another energy firm slapped with a multi-million-dollar settlement for the company's role in California's energy crisis in 2000 and 2001. Sempra Energy has agreed to pay $377 million and to change business practices to settle class action lawsuits accusing it of conspiring to limit supplies and drive up prices. Despite the agreement, Sempra has admitted no wrongdoing in the settlement. The deal calls for the company to reduce by $300 million the amount it charges the state under long-term power contracts. Two Egyptian troops were killed after hundreds of angry Palestinians stormed into Egypt through a border wall today that had been broken with bulldozers. A security forces lieutenant says another 30 were wounded in the rampage, which forced about 3,000 troops to withdraw. Police have imposed a curfew on the Egyptian side of the border. All shops closed. Authorities cut the electricity. Earlier, Egyptian troops were firing tear gas and shots into the air while an Egyptian armored vehicle was set ablaze. One witness said three Palestinians were injured when a troop carrier crushed him against a wall. A suicide bomber in Iraq hit a funeral today for the nephew of a Shiite politician. It killed 32 mourners and injured dozens of others. One of several attacks across Iraq today that left more than 50 people dead. George Bush, meanwhile, today said he is hoping the new year will bring additional cuts in troop levels. He says if Iraqis continue to make political progress and Iraqi troops continue to perform, he'll be ready to discuss further possible adjustments, as he called it. This is Air America Radio News.
Seekers. Peter Werbe here with you on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is slewed as he have a cold and the flu and the coughs and the cold and everything like that. So Peter Werbe here with you once again, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan, 866-303-2270 on the Air America Radio Network. Welcome to all our affiliates across the United States. Also to everyone listening on the Internet and those of you listening on XM Radio. Welcome to the broadcast. You know, I've got tons of things to talk with you about, lots of guests coming up, but I want to bring a guest right to the mic immediately because this is a rather short segment. There's a lot to say. I think all of you are aware of the tragedy in West Virginia, the mining disaster, that terrible situation where the families thought the men were alive. Turned out they were actually had all perished. Joining me to talk about this is David Sirota. David Sirota is the author of the upcoming book, Hostile Takeover. It's from Crown Publishers, due this April. And it analyzes how corporate interests have brought America's political system down. He's the co-chair of the Progressive Legislative Action Network. And, hey, served as an aide to Montana's Democratic Governor Brian Schweitzer's successful campaign in 2004. David Sirota joins us from Helena, Montana, a wonderful city. David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. It's Peter Werbe.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, what a terrible situation. And, you know, in mine disasters are almost taken like hurricanes or bad weather. They just happen. But you found out and have it on your blog, just some terrible information. Please share that with us.
Yeah, well, when I was working back in the House Appropriations Committee back in 2001 and 2002 and 2003, you might remember there was that bad mining accident in western Pennsylvania where a number of miners got trapped. Luckily,
sure.
they got rescued. And when they did get rescued, President Bush held a big photo op, sort of trumpeting the rescue, et cetera, et cetera. But what happened at that time was the House Democrats warned the administration that the Mine Safety and Health Administration was basically horribly underfunded under his budget. He had enacted a number of cuts in his first two budgets to the Mine Safety and Health Administration, and basically what we find out now after this terrible disaster today is that even though the administration was warned in 2002, an inspector general's report, budget cuts, et cetera, even though they were warned in 2002 about the problems with the Mine Safety and Health Administration, they didn't move to change them. In fact, between then and now, they had cut about 170 enforcement staff at the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Now, that doesn't mean that the accident wouldn't have happened. Absolutely not. However, this was a mine where there were a lot of problems, where enforcement was lax. And basically what we learn now is, the administration was well warned about these problems and basically didn't do anything about it. Instead, what did they do? Well, they passed billions and billions and billions of dollars of new tax cuts for the wealthy.
Well, David Sirota, getting warned in advance and ignoring them sounds a lot like 9/11 and Katrina, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, basically what we've learned over the last, 5 or 6 years now is that this administration has a predetermined ideology about what it is going to do. Unfortunately, that has been trumpeted oftentimes in the media as resolve, I guess they call it, or quote-unquote vision. What it really is a predetermined ideology that basically says the government's resources are going to go exclusively, essentially, to reward Bush's big campaign donors, the oil industry, the wealthy, with the tax cuts, go right on down the line.
To mine owners.
The mine owners, exactly.
Yeah.
The administration's eye has never been on the ball. in terms of all these disasters and how to protect America. It's only been on the idea on their ideology.
Now, remind us, and it's out of my brain, but the man who was appointed, at least initially, to be head of mine safety had previously been a lobbyist for the mining owners.
That's exactly right. This is obviously not a new thing with the administration. The administration has in many different agencies appointed people from the industries who the government was supposed to be regulating to be the government regulator once they got in. And this is essentially what happened at the Mine Safety and Health Administration. And it's happened again all on down the line. The Agriculture Department is filled with people from the food processing industry. The Labor Department is filled with people from the Chamber of Commerce. You go all the way down the line. The fox is in the hen house. I mean, look at the SEC after the Enron disaster. The SEC, Bush appointed a former corporate securities lawyer, Congressman Chris Cox, to be the SEC chairman. So this is nothing new.
Yeah. David Sirota is my guest. His website is davidsirota.com, last name Sirota, Sirota.com, davidsirota.com. I remember someone writing me and saying that my website, peterwerby.com, that I was using the deaths of American soldiers, which I have prominently displayed on my website, to make political points. That these were props, in other words, that I didn't care anything about these guys. I wanted to make Bush look bad. And I remember, I think it was either the governor, yeah, it was the governor of West Virginia today who said, we don't want to start pointing fingers. Well, in a sense, you did the same thing. I don't mean that I'm doing.
And right, my response to that is simply that we live in a country now where all of the political establishment's efforts are designed to depoliticize the issues that should be most political. The Iraq War, you see anybody who criticizes the Iraq War, oh, they're playing politics with the Iraq War. Hey, newsflash, the Iraq War is one of the most important political issues facing this country. Political issues are decisions made in the political realm on behalf of all Americans. Same thing with the mine issue. These are important political decisions. Decisions about whether to fund or not fund mine safety and the Mine Safety and Health Administration were made in the political arena. In order to get change in this country, all the issues that are important have to be considered in the political arena. It's not politicizing anything. The political arena is where these decisions get made.
Mm-hmm. Now, David Sirota, I know in your essay on your blog and on your website, davidsirota.com, you have a lot of information. I just Googled real quickly Bush mine safety and came up with this article from November 9th, 2003. Mine safety official critical of policies faces firings. It says that this is back then. The Bush administration has notified a mine safety official who has sharply criticized federal mining policies that intends to fire him. This is Jack Spadaro. I don't know if you're familiar with this case.
I heard about that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This goes all the way down the line. Let's just look at the two big issues that have faced this country recently. You've got the Iraq War and you've got Hurricane Katrina. The Iraq War, General Shinseki went before the Senate, told the administration they needed a lot more if they were going to invade Iraq, which basically he didn't recommend. They said they're going to need a much better, more detailed plan and much more troops to actually stabilize the country. He was fired. Katrina, the head of the Army Corps of Engineers, Mike Parker, a Republican congressman, was appointed to head the Army Corps of Engineers, which is the agency that basically builds and maintains the dams and the levees. He went to Congress in 2002, said the administration's budget cuts that it's proposing for these levees are going to be disastrous. 3 days later, he was fired. So this is a pattern. These
mm-hmm.
people are basically, they have their eye on an ideology, and anything that gets in the way of that ideology basically bites the bullet.
One of my favorite sayings is from an obscure French philosopher, Jean Baudrillard, who said, "The only scandal is that there is no scandal." And sure, this is all coming out. I mean, Bush's poll numbers are really down. But are we up in arms? And I'm not sure who the we is. I mean, certainly those of us that have our eye on things are way up in arms. But when is this house of cards going to topple?
Well, I think that what we've seen, unfortunately, and I touch on this, this is actually one of the central themes of my book, is that essentially the political system has become so corrupt, so divorced from ordinary people's daily lives, so much the possession of the elites in the political realm, the Washington D.C. elites, the power elites, the money elites, that essentially the population has made a rational choice to, in many parts, disengage. Now, that doesn't mean the whole population is disengaged, but by and large, the general population is extremely cynical of the political system. And I think that unfortunately benefits essentially conservative forces in this country, because basically progressive forces, forget about labels, forces that are essentially for the will of the people, they rely on people being engaged in the political process. Conservative forces, money forces, establishment forces basically thrive when the population is disengaged. And I think that what we have to really go for in this country, what we have to really push for, is to re-engage the population. And that is going to be a very long-term battle.
Mm-hmm. Your book, David Sirota, Hostile Takeover, will be published by Crown in April. 60 seconds, you analyze how corporate interests have bought the American political system with all this stuff with Abramoff and all that. It's not going to be that hard to make your point.
Well, no, but although the bigger point in the book is that essentially, we focus on vote buying and basically the worst abuses, but really the most important thing that has been corrupted in the political process, the most important thing the corporate interests have bought in our political process, is the entire debate. Essentially, through lies, myths, and half-truths, the political debate in this country is limited in a way that only benefits big money interests. So essentially, if you buy the political debate, you don't necessarily have to buy individual votes. And so what my book goes over is what parts of the political debate are owned by corporate interests, and how can we debunk them, and how can we fight back?
More information on davidsirota.com. Sirota is David's last name. And, hey, when it comes out, you're definitely on the air for an interview. Thank you, David Sirota, from calling us in from Helena, Montana.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Great guy, great guest. Can't wait till the book comes out. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Going to take some calls when we come back. 866-303-2270. And, you know, we have an economy based on blackmail. I'll talk a little bit about that and get your calls on Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Mike, thank you very much. Get better soon. Boy, he sounded like a guy with a real bad cold when I talked to him in Atlanta today. Peter Werby in from Detroit, 866-303-2270. Some of you are familiar with me, so you know the drill. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com for email. My web address, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. You're listening to the Air America Radio Network at 34 minutes after this hour. It's Frank Clemente, and we're going to be, he's from Public Citizen, and we'll be talking with him about the Abramoff scandal and how hopefully that'll be just another one of the nails in the coffin of these vampires that are sucking the blood out of this country. Now, I just said, and I want to get to your calls as well. I said this is an economy based so frequently on blackmail. And what I mean by that is that people have no choice. It's like, hey, you're going to work for me, and we're going to give you really bad wages, but you got nothing to say, because either that or you're on the streets. You understand? It's a deal you cannot refuse. So the hospitalized miner, the one young man who was able to escape this tragedy in West Virginia that we learned just a few minutes ago, it didn't just happen like a bad rainstorm, that in part it had to do with the failure of mine safety and also digging deeper and deeper, the need, the gluttonous need for energy that this system demands. But the youngest of the miners, it says in the Associated Press, the sole survivor of the mining disaster, he said he had to go underground to earn more money for his family. He says he was looking to get out. It was too dangerous. So he knew it was dangerous. It was a calculated risk, because what this system needs is not just subordinate classes, people that do the work that the people that benefit the most, the wealthy and the uppers, but it also needs a sacrifice class. People that throughout history have built the pyramids and worked in the factories and in the mines and slaved and did what have you to build what we call euphemistically, civilization. Remember the Gandhi line, when someone asked Mahatma Gandhi, what do you think of Western civilization? He said it would be a good idea, right? It's an old one. But you have to understand that so much of what is built is only built on the backs of these sacrifice classes that we've called the working class or the, or slaves in some cases. Here from the New York Times, forces clash on tribal lands, talks about this in Black Mesa, Arizona. And people predicted this 30 years ago when this was going on, that these huge earth-moving cranes, 5,500 tons, which scrape the earth and do incredible damage to the environment, it's closing down. They get coal for the Peabody Coal Company, and it's on Hopi and Navajo land. Somehow, some welcome the idling of the earth-gobbling beast, a symbol, they say, of the rape of the land and precious water below. Others, mostly American Indians who have come to depend on the high-paying jobs at the mine, are furious. For 35 years, it produced coal, but it also provides incredible income for people of the Navajo Nation and the Hopi tribe. One idled worker, Myrata Cody, a heavy equipment operator at Black Mesa for the last 27 years, she has anger at losing her job, and it drives her to tears. This income is the only thing I have. There is no power line at my house, no phone line, no running water. She reserved particular ire for the environmentalists. That's many of you, and certainly me, who went after the owners of the power plant to try to stop the thick plume of smoke and noxious chemicals that has poured into the atmosphere for decades. Now, this is exactly what I'm talking about, this being an economy of blackmail. So here's what we do. We got to screw these native people that have already been screwed by the European invasion, right? This is how they are making a living, by destroying their land and destroying the environment and the atmosphere that all of us, including them, have to suck up. But when it comes down to it, and she says, all those people protesting for the environmental groups, none of them live here. Who's going to go out there and check on them, the older people, make sure they get their medication? Nobody from the environmental groups, that's for sure. So we have, then, people concerned with their families and their community versus people that want to save the environment, what's left of it and savable. Well, here are music. A lot more, too. I wanted to talk about my home state of Michigan, where, hey, either we're going to close down the plants or you are going to give us some tax rebates, right? Understand the deal? Peter Werby with you on the Mike Malloy Show, the Air America Radio Network. We're going to talk about the financial scandals of Bushco, this criminal regime, as soon as we get back on the Mike Malloy Show.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
He's a cop trained to stay cool under pressure. A sniper whose deadly accuracy guarantees no misses, no mistakes. Until he makes the shot and finds that he's the victim of a setup. Searching for answers. Alone. Alone. The New York Times bestselling thriller by Lisa Gardner, author of The Killing Hour. Alone. It's the last place a good cop wants to be. Read Alone by Lisa Gardner. Now a Bantam paperback.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We'll be right back. the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Unfortunately, that man is sick in bed. Joining you is Peter Werby in his place, 866-303-2270. Well, how sweet it is. Jack Abramoff, once powerful lobbyist, kingmaker, doler out of major graft, is pleading guilty, and I'm sure there are people not sleeping very well tonight. Joining me to talk about this is Frank Clemente. He's director of Public Citizens Congress Watch. He joins me from Washington, D.C. Frank, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, it looks like everybody's coming clean. The Bush reelection campaign just ponied up $6,000, and they're going to give it to some nice little deal after Abramoff pleaded guilty to fraud, corruption, and tax evasion. End of story.
Everybody wishes that were so. They would like to have this put to bed and put to rest rather quickly so they could move on, but I think it's going to linger all year.
Yeah, well, what about this? You guys at Public Citizens Congress Watch have some feelings about how this money is suddenly being given back. They're shocked, sort of like in Casablanca, where Paul Henry says, you know, was it Paul Henry? Anyways, whoever it was, says, you know, gambling here, I'm shocked. So they're all shocked, and they're all giving back the money.
Yeah, they make it makes it seem like they come clean to return it, but you know, that's just a bit of a show. I mean, the underlying system will continue unless there's fundamental reform, and there will only be fundamental reform if enough of the public demands of their legislators that they fix the problem.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the connection, though, between Jack Abramoff and the Bush reelection campaign.
Well, President Bush was the most successful political fundraiser in history in 2004 when he ran for president. He raised about close to $300 million outside of the public financing system. This was just during the primary period. And almost half of that he raised through a group of about 500 or 600 people. They were called Pioneers and Rangers. And to be designated a pioneer, you had to raise at least $100,000. And Jack Abramoff, lo and behold, happened to be one of those pioneers. He raised at least $100,000. And the president's gesture today to return $6,000, which was the money that came specifically from Abramoff, his wife, and one of his colleagues, in our opinion, is not enough. He should probably give the whole $100,000 or more back. The problem with our campaign finance laws currently are Abramoff or anybody else didn't have to disclose, or the Bush campaign didn't have to disclose, who all those checks came from that Abramoff sent to the campaign.
Now, Scott McClellan and other Republicans are saying what an awful man Abramoff is, and they didn't realize the shenanigans he was up to. But we hear the word continually, the culture of corruption. And unfortunately, I think that's going to get kind of into a campaign slogan and not really appreciated in its precision. And you indicated that, but about being an actual culture of corruption in which Jack Abramoff didn't even occur to him that maybe he was going to have to face the music one of these days.
Well, I'll tell you, Abramoff, he was out there operating way on the edges of the typical behavior in here. He was so unusual. He was like an octopus in a way. He had his tentacles in all sorts of pots. Nonprofit organizations that he laundered money through. The fact that he was getting half of the tens of millions of dollars he was laundering through this nonprofit he had set up was coming back to him to his own personal bank account. The gifts he was he created a restaurant and hosted fundraisers for members and gave them free meals. He had 4 skyboxes at one point in time at different arenas where he would host events, they were declared it. But the convenience of the way they write the laws here, the rules here in Washington, they could declare a member can't receive a gift of more than $50 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
The House and Senate, their ethics committees count a skybox seat as under $50, if you can believe that.
that's like a couple of beers,
yeah, right.
Or maybe 4.
And some popcorn. I mean, it was unbelievable. So this guy just used, and then the campaign contributions, and then he would hire all these folks coming off the Hill, you know, top people in DeLay, the top, one of the top leaders in the House, he'd hire his top staff and others,
So this guy just had a racket going. It touched on all cylinders. The only way that such a system, such a guy could operate and operate quite openly, and I forgot to travel. He would take these members on junkets to Scotland and other lavish places where they had great golfing. The only way he could operate, the only way he could get as powerful as he did and get as connected as he did, is because the system is fundamentally corrupt and it's got to get completely overhauled. And that's kind of where we're going to see this stuff dribble out. Members of Congress are going to fall from this. Top staff are going to go to jail over it. You're asking me, is this pervasive? It is pervasive as a culture, but not to the degree that Abramoff ran the show.
Mm-hmm. Frank Clemente, if you were in Congress or wherever else in the political structure, who do you think would be the most nervous about more shoes to drop, if you will?
Well, clearly a congressman, Bob Ney from Ohio. He's a Republican. He's a chairman of the House Administration Committee, which is puts him essentially in the leadership of the House. He's been mentioned not by name but by letter.
Yeah, was it Representative Number One?
Is that... A.
Oh, A. Yeah, okay.
He's a code A.
Yeah.
In these in the documents, the pleading and charging documents, both from Abramoff, where he just pled guilty, and then also to Michael Scanlon, who was this young operative who used to be DeLay's press secretary. He pled guilty a couple of months ago, and Ney is actually mentioned in his document as well. Basically, Ney was getting, he was taken on a fancy trip to Scotland. He received large campaign contributions, and he did favors. He put into the congressional record statements both condemning a guy who owned this cruise line in Florida that Abramoff was trying to buy, and then he put Abramoff and his business partner Gotti, he put another statement in the congressional record praising the new owner. A client of Abramoff, who Abramoff was lobbying for this telecommunications company, that company got a very large contract from Ney. It was Ney who personally made the decision about who would get the contract, and it appears that he did that in exchange for a $50,000
contract. You know, Frank Clemente, that what this really hinges on, though, is the vigor of the prosecutorial staff, the federal prosecutors,
right.
And we've seen with the special prosecutor in the Valerie Plame leak case that he is aggressive.
Yeah.
Do we have, are these Bush cronies that are doing the prosecution, or are these professional staffers that will go for the throat?
Well, it's a mixed bag. You've got at the top you've got political appointees, but the public integrity section of the Justice Department is a pretty good, fairly well insulated. It's largely staffed by career civil servants, so I think they're going to try and do the right thing here. I think the question is, are they going to try and rope in Democrats I think Democrats largely are much more at the periphery here. After all, Abramoff was very close to the Republican leadership and really helped cement the power of the Republicans. So they may try and bring some Democrats into it. I'm not sure many will get captured. But we'll have to wait and see. I think that there's going to need to be public vigilance. The media is very important in this process to holding the administration honest in this area.
Yeah, I should say, Frank Clemente, me and Mike Malloy all are afflicted with the same cough and cold. Mike's got it the worst. I've been sucking down lots of tea, honey, and lemon juice. I gave you that advice this afternoon. I don't know whether you did it or not, Frank. It
yeah.
Sure helps me.
Okay.
A final question is, former House Majority Tom DeLay seems also to be a figure prominently in this. What do you think his future is, both as an elected official and as a potential for the penitentiary?
Yeah, I think that DeLay's got a lot to lose here. I think in some ways he's under indictment in Texas for money laundering, corporate money into state elections. What his being wrapped into the Abramoff scandal up here is as problematic or more problematic. I think it's highly, the DeLay has been trying to fight. He lost his leadership position, the number two position in the House, once he was indicted in Texas. He's been trying to get that back. I think this kind of puts the nail in his coffin on that. He's not going to be back in power. If he's not back in power, he's going to be a backbencher. I just don't see him staying around as a backbencher. So I think it probably effectively means he will go one way or another. The only question is, does he go in handcuffs or does he go on his own voluntarily? And that one's anybody's guess right now. I think it really depends on how much Abramoff talks and how carefully or how much evident, concrete evidence there is. This is a very difficult gray area. There's a difference between a criminal standard on this stuff where you're literally proving that somebody was bribed versus an appearance that there was bribery. An appearance that there was bribery is sort of a standard in the House. It's not a criminal standard, so DeLay's colleagues could easily push him out on that basis, and I think that there's enough evidence for that right now. The big question is, did he violate the law?
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Frank Clemente, who's the director of Public Citizens Congress Watch. There's a lot more there at citizen.org. Frank Clemente, thanks for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you so much, Peter.
All right. We're going to be back, and this time I promise to get your calls. 866-303-2270. Nail in their coffin. We need a stake through their heart, don't we? Peter Werbe and the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. The way I see it, there's more to vacuuming than picking up the dirt that Spot tracked in. Even more critical is the dust that can carry germs and those nasty allergens. Try a hypoallergenic 8-pound Oric XL free for 30 days or for free literature. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Because when it comes to dust, you can trap it in my vacuum or let your loved ones breathe it in. What's your pleasure?
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike off tonight. Peter Werby in for Mike. 866-303-2270. Let's go right to our phones. Here's Millie in Los Angeles. Hey, Millie, you're on the air. Welcome.
And sorry to hear Mike sick, but if anyone had to substitute for him, I'm glad it's you.
Well, thank you. What's up? We got to do these short because we want to get a lot of people in.
So about what happened to the miners. I'm a union electrician. I work an extremely dangerous job. I work a utility company. And I'm working around extremely high voltage, like 500,000 volts and down. But and it scares me what happened. It seems to me really linked with how Bush is making it so that the corporations benefit and at all costs. You know, bottom line is the most important. We strip strip the workers of pensions, strip the workers of benefits, strip the workers of pay, and now it's blood.
Sure. Hey, could your job be made safer?
Can my job? Yes, I feel pressure, even though I'm in a union mm-hmm. job. But yeah, there's pressure on our job to take shortcuts. And,
These guys are running Murder Incorporated, essentially. They sit down and they figure, well, we could put in all these safety features and it would cost us so much money. And they actually make these assessments, Millie. They sit down in boardrooms and decide, what's going to cost more? Millions of dollars for this or that, everything from pollution control equipment to safety equipment, or the resulting lawsuits from loss of limb or life. And when it comes down on the side, and they take whichever is cheaper.
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, something that we do, we can get away with, you know, when we feel that we're being pushed by our foreman, we all find an appropriate time when the foreman's sitting in the truck, and we take our trucks and we surround him so that he can't move the truck, can't get out of the truck, and go for a 2-hour break.
But
you know, we get away because when he blows his top and reports, says, hey, it was a safety issue.
Yeah.
And it always falls to our side because we're union. They're not union. And what I want to do is I want to try to get a movement going. I'm so furious. I'm so angry. I can't control myself. What I want to do is go to my union and start a local movement, go through our IBW, go to the international, and support these families and these miners in general. Sue these companies and get back the safety laws, because when I bring this up to somebody who works in the office, mm-hmm. they're kind of like, their eyes, you kind of,
yeah, they don't,
what's
they don't
about?
Know.
They
but
don't
you know,
understand.
Millie, you remember the old, what was it, the Groucho Marx show when you said the what do you call it, the magic word or whatever, and then the duck would come down? Well, you said the magic word, and that is movement. And we can't depend on the goodwill of the employers. We've seen that. And the politicians, even the ones that are kind of critical of the Bush criminal conspiracy, they're kind of paralyzed. So if we don't have a movement of us, like that began our unions in the 1930s, we're going to keep on getting screwed. Millie, thanks for joining me from Los Angeles. Another big city man here, John from New York. Hey, John, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. John,
Peter,
are you with me?
How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining me.
You know, it's interesting that Millie preceded me because it's absolutely a pattern. And specifically, it's not a pattern, but a goal of the Bush administration. I could go on and on about that. But let me give you a couple interesting facts about the Sago incident.
Sure.
CEO Bennett Hatfield and chairman of the parent company, ICG, would like us to believe that this was simply a tragic incident. And as a matter of fact, Bennett Hatfield has made statements that they're substantially tried to improve safety. Well, since October of 2005, they received 50 citations. That is since ICG took the company over since last August, officially in November.
And John, you know what they have to pay when they are convicted of violations?
Well, I'll tell you. For 208 citations in 2005, they were fined $24,155.
There you go. That's Murder Incorporated. They made the assessment, which will cost us more money.
You bet. Okay. Well, further than that, they tell us that they run a safe operation. And now, in their other mines in Kentucky, These are mines that have been owned for some time by ICG in Braithwaite and Knott counties. They were cited for 282 violations last year, resulting in another paltry $21,343.
Man.
All right, this is chump change. You know, this is operating expenditures for these people. This is like one or two UPS trucks paying tickets in New York City.
But, John, let's get back to what Millie was saying as well, and that's about a movement. And what if the miners, and this is what's so important, I mean, it is we as citizens should be outraged at what happened to other people and indignant and sad and everything like that. But what really the miners need to do is shut down every coal, the entire coal industry. Why don't people think general strike when this kind of tragedy that could have been prevented by decent mine safety winds up killing people? All right, that's the end of this hour of the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. We'll be open line next hour as well, beginning right at the top. Stay with us for all the information you'll hear on the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
In 1998, House Majority Whip Tom DeLay, currently under indictment on corruption charges, demanded that Bill Clinton not go unpunished for his, quote, crimes. Fast forward to December 2005. Not one official in the entire Bush administration has been fired or indicted, not to mention impeached, for the shedding of American blood in Iraq or for the shredding of our Constitution at home. But the times, they are changing. The I word has moved from the marginal to the mainstream in the media. And in these last weeks, impeachment has become a topic of discussion among constitutional scholars and experts, including a few Republicans, even a few politicians. Public opinion also registers growing comfort with the idea. There are many reasons why it's crucial that the Democrats regain Congress in 06. But consider that if they do, there may be articles of impeachment introduced, and the courageous John Conyers would become chair of the House Judiciary Committee. Wouldn't that be a just response to the high crimes and misdemeanors that this president has so clearly committed? I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation for Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor, and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon suffered a massive life-threatening stroke today and underwent lengthy surgery to drain blood from his brain. Political power is transferred to his deputy, Ehud Olmert. Doctors placed Sharon on a respirator and are trying to save his life. The 77-year-old Israeli leader had been scheduled to undergo a procedure to seal a hole in his heart, which contributed to a mild stroke that he had December 18th. Israel Radio quoted an unidentified Israeli health official as saying Sharon's prospects of a full recovery were slim. Politicians giving back money. The list of those ridding themselves of campaign donations from lobbyist Jack Abramoff is growing. George Bush, former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, and others are announcing plans to either return the contributions from Jack Abramoff or give them to charity. As a so-called pioneer, Abramoff raised at least $100,000 for the Bush-Cheney campaign in 2004. However, spokesman Scott McClellan indicates the amount returned will be less than that since the campaign is out of business now. The Republican National Committee will make a donation of $6,000. McClellan says Bush does not know Jack Abramoff, but he admitted Bush may have met the lobbyist at one of three White House Hanukkah receptions that Abramoff attended. Earlier today, Abramoff entered another guilty plea. One day after he pled guilty to three federal charges, Abramoff pleaded guilty to conspiracy and wire fraud in connection with the purchase of a fleet of Florida gambling boats. Abramoff has admitted to concocting a false $23 million wire transfer to make it appear that he and a business partner had contributed a large amount of their own money to purchase the Sun Cruise Casino's boats. The business partner entered a guilty plea last month. This plea agreement calls for a maximum sentence of just over 7 years, but that sentence could be reduced. Yesterday's plea deal called for 9.5 years minimum in jail for Abramoff. Yesterday's plea also requires that Abramoff cooperate in a broad corruption investigation into members of Congress and their aides and others. A tentative sentencing date has been set for March. The American Bar Association today gave Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito its top rating. The ABA gave Alito a unanimous, well-qualified rating less than a week before the Senate Judiciary Committee starts its confirmation hearings on his nomination to the High Court. Alito to face an hour of questioning from each of 18 senators on the committee. That rating, the same one Alito got back in 1990 when George Bush's father nominated him to the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
truth seekers. Peter Werby here with you on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is down for the count. That's right. He's got the bad flu bug. And so they asked me, broadcast from Detroit. I said, man, I'd love to do it. I'd love to sit on Mike's show. Love you callers. 866-303-2270. Email goes to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And this first hour of the Mike Malloy Show, we talked about the Abramoff scandal and this criminal regime that rules over us at the behest and the benefit of the corporations, by the rich, for the rich, of the rich. That's their deal, right? Kind of a little difference than what was originally planned. But hey, these guys are radical right-wingers. They're not conservatives. They're bending over way towards the other end of the political spectrum. So join us, please. We're open line until 34 minutes after the hour. Then the Peter Werby Show, Culture Vulture. That's right. It's Curtis Ellis returns live in the New York studios, and he'll be talking about the latest in culture, where we say, after Monty Python, culture, culture. We got culture up to our a-holes, right? Excuse me if I offend anyone. All right, just one thing, and I want to get to your calls. Bush says support our troops, and a lot of those ribbons do. And, of course, the real call is support our oops. Oops, no weapons of mass destruction, still 100,000 Iraqis dead, reaching up towards 3,000 Americans dead, thousands and thousands upon thousands of Americans and Iraqis hideously wounded, but support our oops. Not connected to Al-Qaeda, support our oops, right? Here's another one. This is just yesterday. American F-14 warplanes killed 9 members of an Iraqi family, including women and young children, during a bombing and cannon strike Monday night that obliterated a home near the northern industrial city of Baji, according to Iraqi officials. Well, support our oops. Think about this. What's the best analogy? But more blood on the hands of Bushko. This lying, criminal, unconstitutional regime that begs for regime change, an immediate regime change, and we could pull down the statues of his father that, that fake pulling down the statue of Saddam right at the first days that the war began. The statues of his father are in the Houston International Airport. I'm going to travel there. I'm flying to Caracas at the end of January, and we got to go through Houston, and it's insane. I mean, statues of living people, what the hell is that about? They've got at least 2 or 3 of them up there in the George H.W. Bush International Airport. That's what I say. I don't know. Why am I joking? Here are these this dead family. The attack enraged Iraqi officials in Baji. Do you think? Who said that the airstrike was unjustified and had destroyed an innocent family. How many of those do you think there are? Support our oops. Sorry about that. And what do you think this does to create how many more insurgents, what Bush would like to designate as terrorists? What would you do in your community if a foreign country came and destroyed the house next to you and killed everybody in it? And you say, oh, well, these people are trying to establish democracy and stability in the region for us. Now, let's go right to our phones. I've been promising that for a long time. It's Aaron in New York. Aaron, Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Support our oops.
Yeah, support our oops. What else is new?
Yeah, what's new? You should get a new phone.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you, but it sounds like you've got one of those voice distorters. Go ahead, though. We can deal with it.
I'm on a cell phone, maybe that's why.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was thinking about the Abramoff thing, and I was watching some C-SPAN the other night, and they were talking about, I think they had McCain, it was some sort of hearing. They were, I think back in November, it was a repeat.
Uh-huh.
And they said something about, that Abramoff in some either recorded conversation or quotes or whatever said that he was told some leader, the leaders of some tribe, that we could get governors elected, we can get whoever we want elected out here. So that was pretty scary.
Hey, you know what I was really interested in, Aaron, up here on our board, it says that Abramoff's brother is in Iraq.
Abramoff's brother is in Iraq?
Yeah, did you say that?
No, my brother's in Iraq.
Oh, your brother's in Iraq. Well, man, that must be kind of frightening for you.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
To put it bluntly.
Well, I know, and well, we all hope that they get home immediately and safely. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. I'm going to say that a little slower for you. Let's go to Mustafa in New York. Mustafa, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening.
So I was wondering, we're talking about America here and this deregulation of what should be in the mining fields. I was just wondering how we rank internationally. And
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll bet.
Okay.
The United States is never number one. You know those guys always chant, USA, number one, number one. We're never number one in anything good and decent, unless I'm missing my... I always challenge my Detroit audience. What are we number one in that really is good? And they can't come up with anything. But I'll bet among the industrialized countries, maybe Britain, I don't know. But I'll bet you we don't do very well in terms of mine safety and frequency of accidents. I think you're right. But I don't have any figures in front of me.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
What chances do you really think of Bush being impeached?
Well, you know what the simple answer is. With a Republican Congress next to zero, unless the crimes that could come out are so egregious that even these congressmen could think, wow, if I don't move against this guy, the people of my district are. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of shoes to fall. These guys are so arrogant that, I mean, that's what comes with rich people. Rich people have an intense arrogance because, unlike you and me, if they screw up, nothing happens to them. They're always home free. I always use the example, when I went to college, Michigan State, there were always these real rich frat rats, like the Bushies, that no matter what they did, crashed their cars, got in fights, flunked, knocked up their girlfriends, as we used to say back then, all of that, they would be just there Monday morning, got drunk, you know, all that. All the stuff that, the plebes did, we'd get kicked out of school. So they're not used to paying any costs whatsoever. And you know how many of them come back from everything from the Nixon administration through the Reagan. You know, think of the crimes of the Reagan administration, that criminal group through Bush 1. And they come back. They never sub. They, you know, Kissinger, he's got warrants out for him like in 62 countries. He just keeps coming back. Thanks, Mustafa.
Wow. Thanks
for joining me. We got just a little bit of time. We may hold him over. Enrique from Santa Fe, ¿cómo estás, mi hermano?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Good, thank you. I'm practicing my Spanish for Caracas. I just used it all up.
All right. Well, you know, you'll be able to get by a little bit.
That's right.
You know, I was going to just sort of build on what Aaron said because I watched that hearing also. And I thought it was, bordering on racism. And I think if that comes out, some of those emails that Abrahoff did to, I don't know if it was Scanlon, the back and forth where they were saying, well, these cavemen or whatever, you know, they're so stupid, you know, they're monkey people or whatever, and ask them for another $4 million or, you know, if this kind of stuff gets out about this scandal, you know, I think it might really cut the Republican Party pretty deep.
Wouldn't that be nice? You know,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, the arrogance, too. Anybody with a wit of sense knows that whatever you put on the Internet of email is not secure. I mean, I'm very careful about what I write, not that I have anything to be too careful about, but, I mean, anything, particularly a permanent record like that. How dumb are these guys? You know why they're dumb? Because they, again, just what I just said, Enrique, they did not envision the possibility of any consequence. And usually it is the smaller guys, the Abramoffs, as wealthy as he is, that fall. And the ultra-rich, they're going to go, we'll get another stooge in there to do the deal for us. Enrique, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to, well, we're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back to Bill from Queens. Let's see. We got Armin from Sacramento, Suzanne from L.A., a couple others. Open lines as well for you on the Mike Malloy Show. The number here, toll-free for you all across America, 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike. Welcome back. Peter Werbe broadcasting from Detroit. And Mike will be back hopefully tomorrow. Let's see, Eric wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Cheney is such a fascist Nixonian retread. Cheney was White House chief of staff during the Ford administration in the wake of the Watergate scandal. Says officials in that administration were, quote, adamant about following the law and protecting the civil liberties of all Americans. I mean, these people are so divorced from reality. They must believe this. Can the liar lie to himself? Yeah, I think so. 3 decades later, says The Vice, I work for a president who shares those same values. Well, that's true. He does share the same values as Nixon, doesn't he? Indeed. Hey, let's go to Bill in Queens. Bill, hi, it's Peter Werbe. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Good evening. I just want to tell you an interesting story about the Bush appointees. We have a Homeland Security Inspector General appointed by the Republican administration. He's Homeland Security Inspector General for the Northeast region of the United States, but his office is located in New Jersey, although New York City is the big center, but somehow or other they put him in New Jersey. His name is William West. Now,
okay.
The Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York was given over $600 million about 3.5 years ago to protect the people of New York City, and they never spent any money to protect them. He's supposed to be investigating this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he even got out of his chair. I don't know if he has any concern about Homeland Security for 8 million New Yorkers, but this is the type of, unfortunately, politicians who don't care about the public interest that comes out of this Bush administration appointing process. Very similar to FEMA in Katrina.
Yeah, you do.
Same type of political person that really is probably incompetent and doesn't have any interest. This is a big scandal in New York, the fact that they never spent any money. We have 8 million defenseless New Yorkers now because somebody like William West sits in New Jersey and doesn't do his job.
Well, how in the world, Bill, could Bush ever have gotten approval ratings when he is the guy who on whose watch 9/11 happened? He got all these warnings. He was on vacation. His brain was on vacation. His criminal administration was on vacation. Bill, thanks for joining us. I'm going to go to my home state and pick up Earl. Earl has some information on mining safety that we were wondering about. Hey, it's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, how you doing, Peter? Yeah, I was listening to you earlier, and Mike's conversation last night about the accident in the mine prompted me to poke around and find some figures. I don't know where we rank overall in the world, but last year we lost 42 miners, up from 38 the previous year. But if you want to contrast that to China, in 2004 China lost over 6,000 miners, and the following year, through the first 9 months of 2005, they lost 5,000 miners.
Well, there are some people that really don't care. I mean, and that's why I did say industrialized countries. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if we've got it down that low, I mean, when was it, like in the 60s in some West Virginia mine accident? I think there was like 60 or 70 miners lost. So, and, you know, back in the day, way back in the day, 50, well, let's even go back farther, 75 and 100 years ago, mine accidents were a routine, and suffocations and cave-ins and toxic gas. But when we see the amount that's been cut back for enforcement of mine safety, it still is a problem. But maybe we can get some first-world information. Earl, where are you calling from in Michigan?
Ypsilanti, but I also wanted to ask if you saw Charcoal Nuts on the news today as he blinked uncontrollably, talking about how sorry he was, you know, at the deaths of these miners. When, you know, I lay the deaths right square at his feet, the way he cuts budgets for health and safety programs across our country.
Sure, Earl, I think that's a good indication. The more he blinks, the more that he knows he's lying. Thanks for joining us. Here is Suzanne in L.A. wondering if Abramoff is suicidal. Why do you wonder that, Suzanne?
Yes, indeed. Thanks for filling in, by the way. You're doing a heck of a job.
Hey, doing a heck of a job, Werbe. Yeah, I don't think.
But, yeah, you know, it crossed my mind today when you hear all the documentation of the millions and millions involved and all the people and all the high places and all the perks this man has fallen far and fast.
Sure.
And what a blow to, you know, your psyche.
What about the last Republican? What was that guy, Cunningham? I can't remember his name. What, he had a nickname?
Oh, yes.
Duke. Duke.
The Duke.
Duke. He was the Duke, and he wanted to live like a Duke. Now he's going to have a little 8x10 cell to hang out in.
Yeah.
But usually they go to Club Fed. You know, they.
Well, he's egregious as well, but this other one, Abramoff, he's a champ, and he sort of symbolizes all the corruption right now. And it just occurred to me, he's got to be pretty wobbly psychologically right now, I would think.
I'm sure. You know what, Suzanne? Right after the break, which is coming right up, we're going to have our culture editor here. And he also is an expert on fashion, being one of the best-dressed men I know. Of course, among the men I know, that's not a hell of a compliment, but this guy is sharp. So we'll join Curtis Ellis, the Peter Werbe Show Culture Vulture, when we come back. Suzanne, thanks for joining us from L.A. And Curtis is going to tip us off, as he usually does, to the new movies, what's happening with a new Sidney Lumet courtroom drama, and even a warning from Pete Townsend of The Who. So that'll all be happening coming up in just a minute or so on The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe sitting in for him on the Air America Radio Network.
This is The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In the time you own three or four other vacuums, my 8-pound Orrick XL will still be going strong. But you're going to love an Orrick XL for another reason. It's hypoallergenic. Whatever it picks up stays inside the bag. So try an Orrick XL free for 30 days or for free literature. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. With an Orrick XL, there's never a foul odor or a cloud of dust in your face.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Thank you.
this land, it's your land.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, this is a great song.
Wow.
Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike out today. 866-303-2270. Joining us in the New York Air America Radio Network headquarters, Curtis Ellis. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, Peter.
Curtis is our politically incorrect movie reviewer, the Peter Werby Show culture vulture. Now, that has kind of a bad ring to it, but I like vultures. You know?
I do, too. You know, I had a dream about vultures the other night. It was the weirdest thing. I was sick, and I had a fever, and for real, and I was sleeping, and there were, like, vultures around the bed. It was not my bed.
Ooh.
I was walking through this, looked like Madame Trousseau's wax museum, and there was a diorama, and there was somebody in the bed, and there were vultures around the bed. And I was like, ooh, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not a good sign. But for one thing, turkey vultures, just floating on these streams of air and are beautiful, and they clean up. They clean up after us.
That's
they get
right.
the roadkill. Well, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, hey, I didn't even use our signature line, as Monty Python says, culture. Culture, we got culture up to our a-holes, and proving it, that's
me.
When I introduce you. That's
right.
You. On the other hand, and I mean, I hope you're okay with this. I mean, you yes. I think you think I'm being a little facetious because I'm wearing like Levi's and a sweatshirt and boots, and you're the best, best dressed guy I know. I'd love to dress. When I come to New York again, you got to take me shopping.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'd love to do that. I always go shopping at the sample sales, so I get my $900 suits for three. And this kind of reminds me of something. Everybody talks about the money that people save thanks to Walmart and free trade and all these cheap imports. We're supposed to save all this money on everything, right?
That
makes up for the fact that we don't have any jobs because of all the jobs have gone to China to supply Walmart. But how much money do people actually spend on clothing? That's what they always say. Well, thanks to free trade, you know, no textile worker in the South has a job anymore, but now everybody can afford all that cheap clothing. How much do you really spend on clothes? I mean, I'm the exception. I spend a lot of money on clothes because, you know, I don't spend it on booze anymore. So,
I'm kind of a cross-dresser.
You are, Peter.
Yeah,
I didn't know that about you.
My wife buys a lot of, you know, like sweatshirts. This is an ex-sweatshirt of hers. My T-shirts, she wears them. And she says, you want this? And I say, sure. So I wear, you know, anything of her. You know, not the girly stuff. But,
oh, okay.
You know, you wouldn't.
Unisex dress.
Unisex. Yeah, I guess
cross-dressing, because that reminds me, that's one of the movies I forgot to put on the list, Transamerica. That's one of those.
I saw the trailer. But let me ask you one other.
Someone
brought that up, which you may have heard, about we got into the dressing things.
Yes.
By Jack Abramoff's. You know, this extraordinarily cool guy with a black Borsellino hat and a black trench coat. He's looking cool.
He is looking cool. He looks like Al Capone. It's great. I mean, perfect. This guy's got the racket. He's got the rackets down up there on Capitol Hill.
All right, Curtis Ellis, let's talk some films. Looking for Humor in the Muslim World by Albert Brooks? What the hell is that?
Yes, Albert Brooks' new movie. It's great. Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. It's Albert Brooks' opportunity to make a lot of jokes about Muslims and Hindus and show business and the U.S. government. Premise is real simple. The U.S. government forms a commission to promote better understanding of the Muslim culture. Now, that's funny already.
Right.
And they decide the way they're going to do it. One of the lines is great. The head of the commission, they call Albert Brooks in. He gets a letter in the mail, right, from the State Department. He's afraid to open it. He says, oh, my God, I went to an Al-Qaeda website the other day. You know, I just wanted to see what it was like. And he thinks that that's why they sent him a letter. We'd like you to come down. The way we've been dealing with Muslims up till now is by spying and fighting, the normal things.
Yes.
But now we decided that maybe we ought to try to understand them, so we want to send you over to India and Pakistan to find out what do these people think is funny, what makes them laugh. So Albert Brooks goes over there with a couple of state departments, and then he's going to write up a 500-page report about this, right? And they say, don't worry, no one's ever going to read it anyway. That's the way government reports are. And so they send him over there with a couple of State Department handlers who don't seem to do much. They don't do anything right. You know, they mess up the plane tickets, so he's flying in coach instead of first class. And they get over there. They rent an office. It's right across the hall. Now, these are like where the Muslim jokes and the Hindu jokes come in. His office that they rent him for his project is across the hall from a call center.
Okay.
And the call center, every time he walks by the call center, they're answering phones for different people. You know, what kind of Dell computer do you have? You know,
yeah.
Why don't you reboot your computer? The Microsoft Windows will start up. There's, hello, William Morris. And every time he walks by, it's somebody else. The White House, can I help you? So, and it's really quite funny. I mean, he takes a lot of good jabs at the American government and
jobs overseas. Hey,
and Muslims, and you know, he's not afraid to make ethnic jokes because he's a Jew. Albert Brooks makes Jewish ethnic humor. It's all in good fun.
I wonder what the Muslims will think about that. But we'll go on. The New World, Pocahontas and John Smith.
That's... New World. Oh my God. The New World. This is like a 2.5-hour movie by Terrence Malick, who you probably don't know who he is. He did The Thin Red Line, which you probably never saw. It's a movie with Sean Penn in the South Pacific, the beautiful artsy film. This is a beautiful artsy film. And you wonder, when is the movie going to start? It seems like opening credits the whole time. It is like these long shots of the water and the... This is about the Jamestown colony. Remember, we studied it in social studies back right before World War I when we were in school. And the English land, and they form a colony in the wilderness, and Captain John Smith, played by Colin Farrell, falls in love with Pocahontas, the Indian princess, who's played by Korinka Kilcher, who's part Quechua and part Swiss, and all you have to know is that she was a runner-up in Star Search in 1983. So this is really her feature film debut. All you have to know about this movie, it stinks. But... It's very beautiful and long, and it's so long, and you don't know what's going on half the time. Well, you kind of do. It doesn't matter. It's very scenic. It's very scenic.
Now, how they, I've seen this cartoon that's been altered. It was this famous a shot of these first people landing in Virginia, and the native people are looking on in great awe, but someone had put a voice balloon, and they said, like we're screwed or something like that. So
there goes the neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood. And it was. This was the beginning of the European invasion and destruction of native people and native land. How do they portray the native people?
Well, it's very interesting. They are kind of new agey. You know, the Indian princess Pocahontas is definitely new agey. She waves her arms in the air, and like that means sky. And these people talk. They do have the thought balloon thing going on because nobody moves their lips. Like everybody talks in voiceovers. It's very funny. It's very, very, very peculiar movie. But the native people, it's very unique. They've got great tattoos. They've got great face painting going on. They've got great hairdos. I mean, I tell you, down in my neighborhood in the East Village, they'd be the envy of the neighborhood. And they wear, like, branches in their hair. And they do say, one of the guys tells the chief, kill all of them before more of them come. Let's kill them now before there are more of them. And it's like, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. You know what? Because what happened, of course, is that what we did was export this toxic European culture. I don't want to go on a whole rave here, but Europe was just an absolute mess on every level, politically, religiously, environmentally. It was a madhouse. And they go, I got an idea. Let's go spread this.
Yeah. You know? And they do a nice juxtaposition because you see, like, John Smith leaves the compound, leaves Jamestown, and lives with the Indians for a while, and it's beautiful. They live under the trees, and there's like everybody's nice, and he says in his voiceover, because his lips don't move, Colin Farrell says, they're guileless, they don't have greed, they don't they share everything, they're nice, they don't lie. And then he goes back, he has to go back to the Jamestown colony, and it's a hellhole, you know. It's like, ugh,
yeah,
everybody's dirty, and they're foaming at the mouth, and they're nasty, and they've cut down all the trees, and they're living in mud, and it's like, blech.
Well, you know, if you read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, as I'm sure you've seen, he recounts from Columbus's diary, as soon as he meets these Arawak people, he talks about how gentle they are, how generous,
so let's kill them.
Well, no, he said, these people will make excellent servants.
They'll make excellent servants.
And it's all downhill from there. Right. Hey, we're running out of time, Curtis Ellis, so let's go on to Find Me Guilty.
Find Me Guilty. You know, this is very interesting. I just ran into this today. It opens next month, Sidney Lumet. It's a courtroom dramedy. Now, I don't know if you remember, when they nominated this guy, Sam Alito, for the Supreme Court, he used to be a U.S. attorney.
Right.
And the Democrats put out some talking points about him, and they said, you know, this guy screwed up the biggest case in federal history when they tried to prosecute the Lucchese crime family. Two-year trial, 20 defendants, a RICO thing, and this guy messed it up, and that's what this movie's about.
Really?
Yes. Alito's not in it.
Oh, I was going to say.
He's not a character. They created this other character as the U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
And so what it was is the longest federal criminal trial in history. It went on for 2 years. They're trying all these gangsters, these wise guys in New Jersey, on RICO. And there's one guy, Jackie DiNorcio, played by Vin Diesel, who decides to defend himself. And so this is kind of a dramedy. It's kind of part comedy because you know, Jackie DiNorcio is kind of like Jackie the Joke Man. He's doing his own defense, and he's like
dramedy,
cracking jokes.
Like
yeah, and he's making it's quite funny.
Well, we're coming close to the end. Let me just tell New York people don't hit the button till we'll just go on another minute or so.
Right, right. Then you can get back to the calls. This show's really about.
Well, it's about both. But we want to. This is our health tip for the iPod users coming from. Pete Townsend.
Who?
Oh,
that's
Pete,
oh, right, exactly.
Yeah.
He says, watch out, iPod users. I'm deaf. You're going to go deaf. Now, look, Pete Townsend is from The Who. This is the band that is in the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest concert ever, May 31st, 1976, London.
Really?
Yes, that's true. That's a true fact. And he thinks that it's the headphones in the studio that made him deaf. So all you people with iPods, you're going to be deaf. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the people are going to get deaf from using iPods. You know why?
Why?
They're all going to get hit by cars because they don't hear the cars coming. Before they get old enough to get deaf, they're going to get hit by cars.
Well, Curtis Ellis, as usual, thank you so much for being with us on the Mike Malloy Show.
My pleasure.
And next time Mike's out, we'll do it again. What do they say when the cat's away? The rats will play.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Curtis Ellis. Thanks
for
joining me on the Mike Malloy Show. Maybe that's true. You know, all kidding aside, about 20% of my hearing is from those damn rock concerts that I still go to. I blame it back on the 60s and the 70s, but I don't know. What'd you say? Peter Werby and the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270 on the Air America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit. Let's get some calls in. Just a stone's throw. There you go. Stone's throw away from where I'm broadcasting. Here is Bo in Lathrop Village, Michigan. Hey, Bo, hi. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, Peter. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure, glad to.
I just wanted to make a couple quick points, if I may. I wanted to revisit a point that Mike Malloy made the other night when he was talking about some of the underhandedness and sneakiness of the Bush administration. And I wanted to mention to the viewers that the progressives among us really need to be aware of the power-grabbing Bushies enacting presidential laws and various other enactments during down periods like holidays.
Okay.
And one example of that was the changes to the doomsday scenario of presidential succession that Bush announced back about 2 days before Christmas.
I missed this totally. So, yeah, I mean, my brain was on vacation for about a week.
It was reported in the L.A. Times, and Mike had a lot to say about that one.
Give us a summary real quick.
Well, what happened essentially was that the Army folks, I believe, were taken out of the line of succession, and people loyal to Rumsfeld, some of his underlings, were put in their place.
Okay.
And all this was done surreptitiously on December the 23rd, I think, when everybody was singing, Joy to the World and things of that sort. And Mike read it on the air, and boy, I'll tell you, that got my dander up in a big hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one would think so, because, I mean, this is the whole nature of Bushco, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to mention in addition to that is it's become somewhat of a mantra of mine, and everybody I can grab, I like to tell them that, you know, we're not going to have any changes in Congress and ultimately in the executive branch until we have true campaign finance reform.
Well, I think speaking about or declaring it as a mantra is correct. And not only does it have to be your mantra, but it has to be the mantra of perhaps millions of people, or we're going to have forever a corrupt system. Thanks, Bo. Thanks for joining me. Here's Irwin in Flushing, New York. Hi, Irwin. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. You know, Abramoff 20 years ago was head of the College Young Republicans.
Sure, he had some pals, too,
and
didn't he?
Yeah, he had Grover Norquist and Ralph Reed. I call them the three lowlives of American politics, young politics. Anyway, Abramoff is a religious Jew, and he would write letters into the Time magazine, I remember, saying that the Democrats are the party, an immoral party, because they support gay rights or homosexual rights,
mm-hmm.
and abortion. And if you remember in the last election, remember the word values?
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm here.
Values.
I'm
no
here.
More. We never hear the word values anymore. In fact, when he was...
Well, they've kind of let that slide, don't you think?
Of course. He looked like a mafioso with his black hat on. You know, he could have played in the movie The Godfather 4. And the point with the Abramoff was, one of your competitors, another talk show radio, said, he, in court, said, I let my creator down. My God, what hypocrisy.
Oh.
On Saturday, they go to synagogue, and on Sunday, and as my father used to say, they have their hands in the till on Monday. Abramoff is about the very worst human being, and I can only hope the worst for him. I'm an easygoing person. I'd be a bleeding heart liberal, just, but not to him. And number two, on movies with minds, have you ever seen How Green Was My Valley?
You know, I never have. Let me go back to your point, Irwin, just a second ago. You know, all these guys, they're completely content to rip off the public, rip off their clients, whoever, corrupt the whole system. Then when they get caught, only when they get caught do they go, oh, you know, I mean, why didn't he think, before he admitted his guilt that he was failing his creator?
I think Abramoff used that for years, that he was a religious Jew, and the other types like Ralph Reed, I hear he has his difficulties, too. They believe in Jesus. You're
starting to fade, Irwin. I'm going to cut you loose, and we'll talk another day. Thank you, and I want to get this final call in from Dan from Missouri. Dan, go ahead. You got to do it kind of quickly, though. We're almost out of time.
Okay, real quick, I just want to say this. First of all, Mike the other night was talking about he's a scourge and everything else. He was on the radio the other day. I like Mike, just first-time caller. We got to keep on the faith, all of us good Americans out there, and we have got to stand up to this Bush administration and to this right-wing machine. I thank you guys for doing what you're doing and keep the good work up. But let's get the protests out there. Let's get it on the radio. And if people are on Sirius Radio, check over to XM Satellite because that's where Air America is. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for joining us at 866-303-2270. We're about to go to a break, and then we come back. We're going to have all open phones till 34 minutes after the next hour. And then we're going to be talking with some people that really are doing what has to be done. It's we're going to be talking to David Swanson from Impeach PAC, and we're going to talk about how you, the citizen, can get involved in getting rid of this criminal administration. Also about a challenge to Ken Mellman, chair of the Republican National Committee, a challenge to a debate on the question is, should George W. Bush be impeached for lying about Iraq? And then for other types of activity, the kind of direct action your old pal Pete, that's me, likes. There's going to be Iraq events planned in over 70 cities, so we're going to deal with that as well. And, but in the meantime, grab those phones. Got open lines for you right now. 866-303-2270. If you'd like to send some email, always glad to get that. Call talkyes at yahoo.com. My personal website, peterwerbe.com, last name W-E-R-B-E.com. Mike, hopefully, will be back tomorrow. You're listening to the Air America Radio Network. Thanks a lot.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
He's a cop trained to stay cool under pressure. A sniper whose deadly accuracy guarantees no misses, no mistakes. Until he makes the shot and finds that he's the victim of a setup. Searching for answers. Alone. Alone, the New York Times bestselling thriller by Lisa Gardner, author of The Killing Hour. Alone, it's the last place a good cop wants to be. Read Alone by Lisa Gardner. Now a Bantam paperback.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is undergoing potentially life-saving surgery following a massive stroke. After learning of Sharon's stroke, President Bush offered prayers for his recovery. Sharon is key to Bush's hopes of pushing forward with the Middle East peace process. Ambassador Aryeh Mackel says Deputy Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will take over Sharon's place.
They just transferred the powers of the prime minister to him. He is number two in command. He's also minister of finance. He has been around for a long time, very experienced.
The prime minister will preside over a special cabinet meeting today. Sharon's death or incapacitation could cause political unrest in Israel. There is a general election coming up, and Sharon was expected to win on a platform of ending conflict with the Palestinians. Miscommunication, that's the word being used by the owners of the West Virginia coal mine, where 12 of 13 miners lost their lives, but whose families were told otherwise late Wednesday night. An early report from the mine said all but one of the 13 miners had survived, but after several hours of celebrating, the family members were informed of the grim news that the first report was erroneous and that, in fact, only one miner had survived. Lobbyist Jack Abramoff has pleaded guilty to conspiracy and fraud charges in Florida. He acknowledged that he faked documents that were used to get a loan of $60 million for a casino ship fleet in 2000. Four other charges were dropped under the plea agreement. U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, R. Alexander Acosta, says he hopes Abramoff will cooperate in their probe of corruption in the Capitol in exchange for a lighter sentence.
The plea agreement recommends a 27 level, which is 70 to 87 months. Certainly subsequent to that, to the extent that he cooperates, we are willing to work with him and to consider how to proceed.
Abramoff pled guilty to charges of fraud, conspiracy, and tax evasion in Washington. He's suspected of giving campaign contributions and illegal gifts to lawmakers in exchange for their favorable treatment for his clients. NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann ended all speculation Wednesday night when he announced in Pittsburgh that he would run for the Republican nomination for governor of Pennsylvania. Swann says Pennsylvania needs new leadership.
Now, I live here. I'm married. My children are here. I like for them to have opportunities to work here in Pennsylvania, not feel like they have to leave Pennsylvania to get an education or get an education in Pennsylvania and leave to have a job.
Swann points out that independent polls show he already has the lead over his three opponents for the nomination, including former Lieutenant Governor Bill Scranton. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, third hour. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike, who's under the weather. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. 866-303-2270 is our phone number. Call talkyes at yahoo.com. And Helen from Helena, Montana wrote this in. And hi, Helen. I met Helen 1 year when I was out in that fine city. In fact, Helena, Montana is just absolutely terrific. She says, call me a commie, but I think it's wrong for corporations to kill their workers. Had the miners in West Virginia been unionized, do you think they would have been working with 208 OSHA violations in 2005? These guys weren't unionized? I didn't know that. I thought they were all unionized. What happened to all those folk songs from the 30s? Which side are you on and all that? Man, imagine, let me just read on. pardon me, Helen says, or would they have gone on strike after the first 50 or so? And do you suppose the conservative idiots who tell us the only purpose and responsibility of business is to maximize profits will tell us it was a tragic accident rather than a horrible atrocity? Helen says the management of those coal companies murdered those men as surely as if they had shot them. That's what they did when they tried to unionize in the 1930s, right? And she says, in the same government that allowed Abramoff such license was complicit in the murders by refusing to enforce the regulations which were so flagrantly flouted. Whew, man, how true it is. Thank you, Helen. I appreciate that. I did, right at the beginning of the show a couple hours ago. As long as you have petrochemical, nuclear, industrial base for energy in this society and in the world, you don't just need a subordinate class that's forced by the coercion of wages into the most unsafe, unhealthy jobs imaginable. You virtually need a sacrifice class. The people that died building the pyramids, they have an analogy in the people working in the unsafe industries today. I know they have a workers' memorial day for the hundreds of men and women that are killed on the job every year and the thousands, the tens of thousands that are wounded. Most of it is corporate murder incorporated. They sit down and they figure out what cost will they have to bear if they have to make everything as safe as possible and as pollution-free as possible, posed against what kind of payouts do they have to have for insurance and payoffs for death and injury and what have you, and they come down on the opposite side. So the only time that they're going to do what is necessary to create a safe and humane work environment is when we, as a group of people in a particular industry, force them to do it. All right. Also, the worst, probably, coal is awful, nuclear is just suicidal to the at least the higher forms of life on the planet. But oil is right in there among the worst as well. It's poisonous when it's pumped. It's poisonous when it's shipped. It's poisonous when it's refined. It's poisonous when it's used, right? And we fight how many wars for it? How many trillions of dollars have come in the form of taxpayer subsidies? So U.S. oil corporations can pump gas just out of the Middle East. You got to add that to your cost per gallon. In Iraq, as you may know, the fuel crisis deepened last Friday. An oil minister was suspended for objecting to steep government-imposed price increases for gasoline and cooking oil. There's been many riots. And, of course, who's back in? Ahmad Chalabi, the deputy prime minister. And he was the guy that, in good part, is responsible for creating the, what would you call, it's not like he fooled the Bush administration. They knew he was lying. He created the pretext. That's the word I'm looking for. Chalabi is responsible as one of the Iraqis that wanted to get in on the next racket ruling Iraq to give all this phony information. So that's going on in Iraq. In Nigeria, there's pitched battles have been fought between communities claiming authority over a particular village. And somewhere in here, oh yeah, the conflict has left dozens dead and wounded, sent hundreds fleeing their homes and roiled this once quiet part of the Niger Delta. It has also laid bare the desperate struggle of impoverished communities to reap crumbs from the lavish banquet the oil boom has laid in this oil-rich, yet grindingly poor corner of the globe. But much of the oil will come from places like this Obuku, and with it, a tangled and often bloody web of conflict marked by poverty and a near abdication of responsibility by government, by the Nigerian government. And ultimately, it's all so we can fuel our SUVs or our very, very fuel-efficient Toyotas, either way. Venezuela, of course, is using a lot of its oil resources for good. It's providing cheap oil, certainly for its country, but also all around the Caribbean basin. And as you know, it is also providing cheap oil for the poor, for home heating oil in the Northeast. Now, the Chicago Transit Authority, that originally, by the way, the band Chicago, that was originally their name, the Chicago Transit Authority, and they were forced by the CTA to change it. They brought suit against it. Hey, man, you can't call your band that, your hippie band, before they were, you know, real famous and kind of mainstream. So they just became Chicago. Anyways, the Chicago Transit Authority is refusing an opportunity to alleviate commuting costs for hundreds of thousands in the Windy City's low-income neighborhoods. Instead of accepting deeply discounted fuel from the Venezuela-owned Citgo Petroleum Corporation, the city is instead raising fares to solve budget shortfalls. Sure, what the hell? Screw the poor. Actually, we're on XM Satellite. I could even say more than... Oh, yeah, we got radio affiliates, too. In an October meeting... The people in New York just said, please don't. I won't. I've never. I'm old school. You needn't worry, Jason. In an October meeting with representatives from the Chicago Transit Authority, the city's Department of Energy, and other city officials, Citgo unveiled a plan to provide the Chicago with low-cost diesel fuel. And this, in turn, would be passed on to poor residents in the form of free or discounted fare cards. Now, instead of fighting a war in Iraq, why don't we have free public transportation? What a concept. Why don't we have free higher education instead of the billions, the trillions that go down the rat hole of preparation for war? 2 months later, the CTA president says he has no intent or plan to accept the offer. In place of the proposed discount, the CTA, which they don't even want the Chicagoans to know about, they're going to raise the fares. That's right. They're going to increase 25 cents per ride. Hey, to us middle-class people, that is nothing. But Dorothy Chu, president of Humboldt Park, where one-third of the residents live below the federally recognized poverty level, which means what's currently just $16,000 for a family of three, which means probably three-quarters of them do if you start thinking realistically. This is going to hurt the poor and minority people like me, she says. She attends classes daily, and she says she only earns $560 a month, and over $200 of that goes to her bus fare. And these vile characters in Chicago and the Chicago Transit Authority, they don't want to take money from Venezuela because, you know, this horrible Chavez. Well, tell me what you think. I'm here to get your calls on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe, 866-303-2270. Let's go to our first call, which is Don from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the Bush impeachment, and we're going to talk about that in about 20 minutes, but let's get a head start with Don. Don, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pete. I do want to talk about the move to censure. John Conyers is floating this move to censure George Bush, and I'm concerned that that may give him an out when if there's a later opportunity to impeach him, based on the double jeopardy clause in the Constitution.
Well, that is in criminal trials, and I don't think that would. Of course, John Conyers, our favorite congressman from Detroit and almost the dean of the congressional, the whole Congress. No, I think he is a very crafty politician in the best sense. And remember, he's the one that introduced the resolution to impeach Richard Nixon.
Mm.
Yeah, so that man has got a plan, believe it. Thanks, Don. Here is Lon in Miami. I'm sorry, I took the call wrong, but Lon, go ahead. You're on the air.
Lonnie,
hey. Okay, go back on hold. I'll get who I was supposed to. Cliff from Colorado. Hey, Cliff, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Did you get that? That Lon had somebody on hold for me. Hey, Lonnie, phone for you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I love Mike Malloy. You're doing a great job substituting for him.
Well, thank you.
One of Mike's problems, and it's been mine too, and I think it's a lot of people's problems, is what can we do as citizens of the United States to stop what's going on? And I think we have to boil it back down to the basic principles of this country.
Sure.
This is a representative country. We need to contact our representatives, our representative, our senators, and tell them we can't tolerate this. The Bush administration has to be impeached.
Cliff, I would say that, let's put it this way, this is one of several things,
yeah.
and it kind of depends on people's disposition, and we'll pick up the conversation at 34 minutes after this hour with David Swanson of, let me get the name right of the group, that's right, impeachpack.org, and we'll talk about that aspect of it, but there's tons of other things. There's rallies, there's demonstrations, there's town meetings, there's resolutions in our unions and churches. Peter Werby and the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back at 866-303-2270 on the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike. Mike, not feeling so well tonight. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. My rock and roll brain must be asleep. Jason, who are we listening to? Who's this band? In Excess. Yeah, The Devil Inside, the boys from Australia. They've got some great songs, yeah. Hey, we were talking about John Conyers of Michigan, a man I'm privileged to know, I would say personally, but I've met him any number of times. Actually, I was at a street fair one time, and I saw him walking by himself, and I said, "Hey, John, how are you?" He said, "Shh, I'm in disguise as Harry Belafonte." Well, anyway, Reggie from TVNewsLies.org reminds me that TVNewsLies.org has selected Congressman John Conyers Jr. as the 2005 Person of the Year, and a great selection. And he, at the bottom of the email he just sent, he has a Bill Maher quote, which is pretty disheartening. It says, "We need more people speaking out. This country is not overrun with rebels and free thinkers. It's overrun with sheep and conformists." Is that true? Boy, that, if that's the case, we are not doing so well. Here's David in Florida. David, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for joining me.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks.
Good. American Indian brother from St. Augustine.
Ah, welcome.
Thank you very much. Same to you. And you were talking earlier about the struggle that Native people go through with this. You know, we were pushed off in the 19th century and 18th century, too. We were pushed off our traditional lands, which was all of America, into these little reservations. And most of these little reservations are the most marginal lands in the country. So it makes it very hard for many of us to survive. And so that's why you find, like with the Diné out there out west, you find, you know, you find the coal mining is about like the only thing that's going down as far as a job.
Sure.
And it's not that most of those Indians want to rape the land. Now, there's a few apples among those, you know, who sell out and they become like white folks. But most of us still care deeply about the earth, but we also got to feed our families. So white environmentalists just need to understand that and work with us on those issues, and then maybe we can clean up that you know, that coal-fired plant and the coal mining on the Diné Reservation out there and work in harmony with the environmentalists. But just some of them alienate Indian people because they come out and they just, you know, they're all privileged and they're white and they live in these fancy homes and they drive these fancy cars. And they're trying to tell us, you know, poor Indians, that we should shut the plant down or something.
Well, that's what I said. It's always a devil's choice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we got to get away from. You know, there's that song, Salt of the Earth, old Joan Baez song that the Rolling Stones do, where one of the lines is they give you a choice of cancer or polio. Well, I mean, we've got to start creating choices of our own. We have to start envisioning what we want. And Native people, I'm not trying to sound, you know, like some sappy white guy, but still remaining in many, most Native cultures is an understanding of how to live gently on the land. And I think the choices when Native people have to accept like waste deposits or nuclear deposits, it's out of desperation. I mean,
absolutely.
Like you said.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what it does, it fractures the nation. This is the same way the conquerors have always worked, is they bring in these proposals and for economic development, but it fractures and it breaks down into the assimilated, acculturated Indians and then the traditionalists who want to preserve their traditional values and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes there can be a balance there, but other times it's just there are no other options if you're in certain areas of the country. And some people think that all Indians are getting rich off casinos, but most Indians don't even have casinos.
Right.
And a lot of Indians live on reservations that are so remote that they're never going to see any kind of casino, not even a little bingo hall or anything.
That's
an important thing to remember, too. What I would recommend for people that want to help Native people,
mm-hmm,
is go to a website, Honor the Earth, www.honorearth.com.
Wait, Honor the Earth or Honor Earth?
www.honorearth.
Okay.
Yeah, the name of the organization, though, is Honor the Earth.
All right.
And work with Winona LaDuke and...
wonderful woman.
Yeah, wonderful woman. Mississippi Band of Anishinaabeg. That's hard to say. But anyway, I'm Eastern Cherokee, Salagi. And I'll bid you good night.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much
for joining us. He mentioned Apple earlier. That's red on the outside, white on the inside. Here's Joy from Santa Cruz. Joy, hi. You got to do it real quick.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment that the story of the new movie with Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Just like the Disney movie, they got it totally wrong. She did not have an affair with John Smith. She was married to a guy named John Rolfe, and she was an ambassador of her tribe to England. And she ended up marrying him and moving to England, and that's where she died.
Really?
Yeah. There's such a myth about Pocahontas and John Smith, and it's completely untrue.
Now, well, that's always the question in movies. How much historical accuracy do they have to portray? I mean...
Well, evidently they don't do any.
particularly in Disney movies.
Well, I was descended from her, so I've...
Really?
Her. Yeah. And the stories, the myth that they have, it's just completely untrue. So
right.
I want people to check out her real history.
Yeah, they can do that easy enough these days on the Internet. Thanks, Joy. When we come back, it's David Swanson from Impeach Pack, and we'll give you some real information. You want to do something? You want to get rid of this criminal administration? David Swanson will tell us. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, the Air America Radio Network. I'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Oreck XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to wear.
If you wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And sometimes ordinary dandruff shampoo just doesn't do enough. That's why, every day, more and more people are switching from ordinary dandruff shampoos to Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue is doctor recommended for flakes and itch. Plus, there's added aloe and moisturizers to give you healthier hair and scalp. If you wear black, don't take a chance with ordinary dandruff shampoos. Do what so many people are doing every day. Make the switch to Celsin Blue. Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue.
And now, back to Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thank you, Mike. Welcome back, everybody. Peter Werbe broadcasting from Detroit, 866-303-2270. And let's go to David Swanson. David Swanson is with ImpeachPAC, Citizens Impeachment Commission. We got to get organized. Isn't that right, David Swanson?
Absolutely. We're doing it.
And you guys are doing it. Tell us about ImpeachPAC and what the Citizens Impeachment Commission is doing and how just the average Jane and Joe can get involved. I think that's the important thing.
Well, there's also a website, impeachpac.org, where people can go. And there's another website we work with called afterdowningstreet.org that people can go to. But ImpeachPAC is a political action committee that was just created about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, that has raised about $50,000 so far in small contributions to contribute to congressional candidates who stand for the immediate simultaneous impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And, you know, it sounds like a radical idea, but it's mainstream if you look at the polls. Most of the polls we've had to actually commission polling companies to do because they aren't doing it, but 53% of Americans in the most recent poll want Congress to start impeachment proceedings if the president lied about the war. And, of course, numerous polls show that a majority believe that he did lie about the war, as of course he did. So there's a lot of interest out there, and we're hearing from dozens of credible candidates. We've endorsed one thus far, Tony Trupiano, who's running for Congress from Michigan.
My pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Trupiano, one of the great talk show hosts, and who's now taking time off, and he's running for Congress in Michigan's 11th district. You can go to thetonyshow.com, T-O-N-Y, thetonyshow.com, find out more about Tony. And tell us the story about how he was attacked in Roll Call, and remind people what Roll Call is.
Roll Call is a newspaper published on Capitol Hill about Congress, read mostly by Congress and congressional staff. There's another one called The Hill. There are two competing papers there. And, you know, he was endorsed by ImpeachPAC, and he spoke out and said, I'm for impeachment. The evidence is overwhelming. Here's what some of it is. And he didn't get any sort of reply on the merits or substantive objection to the argument. We never do. But he was attacked in the media, and there was a very dismissive article in Roll Call trying to paint a position of impeachment as a fringe and radical position, and arguing that that's what it was for the Republicans when they impeached Clinton. And of course, that was true. But the article made no reference to the public opinion polls that have been done this time around that show that there's actually a majority interested in impeaching Bush, and that, of course, there are much more serious reasons.
Now, David Swanson, ImpeachPAC gave Tony Trupiano, I'm reading a release here, it says the maximum of $2,100. Now, is that statutory?
I'm sorry?
That it says you gave him the maximum $2,100 for a new PAC.
That's the maximum that a new federal PAC can give, and we gave him that. But we also bundled money and had our supporters give several thousand dollars to him directly.
That's after the Roll Call denunciation of him.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. So they gave another $5,000 in a single day.
Yes,
that's absolutely amazing.
That's right.
Hey, you know, who was it? Tracy Schmidt dismissed ImpeachPAC as fringe, to say the least. That
yeah.
Word keeps coming up, fringe. I mean, they're mainstream. They are mainstream crooks. Tell us what, you know, how you and also Democrats.com, Bob Furtick and folks have responded to the designation of ImpeachPAC as fringe, to say the least.
Yeah, well, you're referring to an article that came out just today, or yesterday, I should say, at this point on the East Coast, in the New York Sun, which is a rather right-wing newspaper. But they sent a reporter over to Bob Furtick's office and interviewed him and wrote up an article, and they got a quote from Tony as well. And Bob is the president of Democrats.com and of ImpeachPAC, and they wrote an article that started out actually rather surprisingly fair and reasonable, didn't go into much substance, but then quoted a spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee, Tracy Schmidt, saying this effort is fringe, to say the least. If Democrats choose to align themselves with such a laughable campaign, it will be at their own peril, end quote. And, you know, it's easy to tell what these people really don't want, because the things that they're not scared of at all, that they treat with a little bit of respect and argue against and so on, the things that they're really scared of sometimes, they dismiss, they call fringe, they call laughable. You know, they laugh at you, and that's the way that that they're treating impeachment. So, you know, I'm hopeful that when Democrats see advice coming from the RNC as to what is acceptable behavior, they don't take it terribly seriously.
Now, Bob Furtick, president of ImpeachPact.org, has challenged Ken Mellman, chair of the Republican National Committee, to debate on the question, should George W. Bush be impeached for lying about Iraq? You know, come on, that's not the fairest way to put the question. No, he shouldn't be impeached for lying about Iraq, right? But I like the way you threw it back in their face.
Right. Well, you know, it's a strange situation we're in, where just about everybody who's really paying much attention knows that, of course, he lied about Iraq. And when the Downing Street memos came out this past spring, and much of the media refused to pay attention, we were told, oh, that's old news. Everybody already knows that they lied about Iraq, that they made up the weapons and the ties to 9/11 and started the war already. That's old news. That's boring. But of course, all of the editors and reporters and producers did know that. And anybody who had carefully read page 18 of the business sections and the international press and searched things out on the internet did know all of that, but much of the American public did not. And so it's, you know, it was very, very disingenuous. But now we're in a situation where, you know, among certain crowds you can say, well, of course the president lied about the war, and in other cases you can't.
Yeah, Mike Malloy and I, when we were on the old IE America radio network that preceded Air America, we routinely lost affiliates, like in 2001 and 2002 when we called Bush Co. A liar. My guest is David Swanson, and he's with ImpeachPact.org. Please go to that if you're serious about getting rid of this criminal administration. Let's move on quickly, and maybe we can get a caller on the line about this. I know there is, I see one that wants to talk about this issue. But I see that Democrats.com has out-of-Iraq events planned in over 70 cities. This is incredible, and this is coming up, is it Saturday, right?
In fact, it's up to 122 events at latest count, and these are, almost all of them are town hall forums in cities, 122 cities around the country, and a good many of them include Congress members who are supportive of getting out of the war and of holding Bush and Cheney accountable through censure and through impeachment. A few of them are protests at offices of Congress members who are supporting the war. But this is an effort of all sorts of organizations across the peace movement and the political spectrum. And you can go to afterdowningstreet.org and you can sign up to attend the closest event to your house, or create a new one if you think you've got time and can do it. And the focus of all of these events is on ending the war, but in many cases it's also on impeachment, which is in the news now and which is in the Congress now, since Congressman John Conyers has introduced the bill.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned John Conyers again, because I was just going to ask you, we had a caller earlier, Don, that was worried that the resolution that Congressman Conyers has introduced to censure Bush would be a, what did he, well, he put it in terms of double jeopardy, but would contradict, if you will, the attempt to actually impeach Bush.
Yeah, that's not true legally, nor, I would argue, in terms of political strategy. You can censure someone and impeach them. You can impeach them and then censure them. And, in fact, if we have a serious debate over censure, that will bring up and call attention to impeachable offenses. So it's a step in the right direction. And Congressman Conyers has introduced a bill to censure Bush and one to censure Cheney, but not over their crimes, over their failure to turn over information and to properly follow through on Freedom of Information Act requests and so forth. So it's a step in the direction of having a proper investigation. And he's introduced a third bill, which would create a select committee to do a serious investigation with subpoena power and make recommendations on impeachment. And
that's extraordinarily important, because this goes to the heart of what Cheney and Bush are creating in terms of an imperial presidency that just shreds the U.S. Constitution and its guarantee of separation of powers.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, listen, we have to take a break, and then we want to get some of the callers on. So it's impeachpack.org, right?
Yes.
It's afterdowningstreet.org and democrats.com.
Right.
David Swanson, thanks for appearing on the show, particularly on such short notice. My best to Bob Furtick, and you guys are leading the charge.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. Some open lines now, and we'll be open line till the end of the show. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-510-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-510-MEGA. 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 These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA. 866-510-MEGA.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you very much, Mike. Mike under the weather tonight. We're hoping he'll be back tomorrow. We're hoping I don't come back tomorrow. I'd love to be back, but not at Mike's expense. So let's all wish him good thoughts. Frank Zappa in the background. Thank you, Jason. And people talking about so many ways to get into motion, to become politically active. One way is freeway blogging. Go to freewayblogger.com, freewayblogger.com. And what these folks do is they put up signs all over freeways, and they have the most amazing set of photographs on their site. So it's freewayblogger.com. And right now they're starting to do impeach everywhere. So everywhere you go, they're putting impeach on just that big word, impeach, on big signs all over everywhere. If you're not real clear on what I'm saying, go check the website. All right, let's go to Miles in Phoenix. Miles, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Peter, if 100% of America disagrees with you, does that make you wrong?
No.
Exactly. My original question, though, was, do you really feel, or are protests effective, I guess is my main question.
Yes, I'd say yes.
Well, I mean, what's our big victory we can point to as saying, oh, you know what, that changed because of protests?
Well, you know, it's always not real direct. I mean, if you started looking at a lot of the civil rights movements when people had dogs sicked on them, a lot of the union, think of the union movement of the 1930s. It depends on what the people in power are, how they're responding. The police, the National Guard, and private guards killed 300 Americans who were trying to unionize during the 1930s. And it very often looked grim. We had out millions and millions of people on February 15th, 2003, that said Bush is lying. There are no weapons of mass destruction. There is no connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And you'd say, well, gee, that was for nothing. They still went to war. They still have killed thousands of people, even though now they're saying support our oops. The war continues. So what good are demonstrations? Well,
and he got reelected.
Well, we find out, of course, within a corrupt system, you can't have that kind of democracy that is necessary to immediately end the abuses of power. But what demonstrations do, they're manifestations. That word is used in French and Spanish. They call them manifestaciones in Spanish. It's a manifestation of our outrage, our anger, our desire for change, opposition to a policy, what have you. And it doesn't always go quid pro quo. You know, we have a demonstration. They go, oh, there's millions of people against us. We better not have our war. It was all planned, probably even planned in the late 1990s, by these neoconservatives when they're out of power. But what it does, it shows the scope of our power. It actually is an affirmation when so many of us come out to a rally, come out to a demonstration, is, I think, they're way, way important. All right, thank you, Miles. Appreciate that. Let's go to Lon in Miami. Lon, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
Good. All right.
I couldn't sit and be silent anymore about this. He talked about roll call, and well, I wrote for roll call. I was involved a little bit with the impeachment process with Congressman Sandman and the Watergate Committee in 1972.
Really?
I want to qualify myself because tonight I'm making a general call to action for the organization that supports the infrastructure for the middle class in America, which is the Junior Chamber of Commerce, the JCs. They just put on the election in Afghanistan. And here's the big secret. Just before the hurricanes hit, in April, Bush mandated for the JCs to take over for FEMA and to be trained and whatnot, but to be the organization to come in, not just current members, but past members that wanted to get involved and get hired by the federal government, basically, and be the organization to do that. But it was too soon. That's a big secret. Very few people know about that. The JCs are the organization that created and preserves the status quo for the middle class in America.
Well, I don't think so. Unfortunately, Lon, I don't think the status quo in America is exactly remaining status, stasis.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we've been going downhill. Lon, I got to get another call, so thank you for joining us. And here is Bill in Sacramento. He's got an interesting event we can go to. What is it?
Yeah, nice. Peter, you're doing a great job. It's good to hear you.
Thank you.
This Saturday, our town hall event that your previous caller from Democrats.org
.com, Democrats.com, yeah.
Right. This Saturday at 1 o'clock here in Sacramento, we're going to have Cindy Sheehan as a speaker. We'll have David Ashimi, the author of American Hiroshima, as a speaker. And then Charles Brown, who's one of the fighting Dems, he's running against Representative Doolittle, if you've ever heard that name.
Yeah.
So we're going to have all three in our lineup. It's going to be a great event, so I wanted to make your listeners know about it. Then I had one other quick question.
Sure.
I've listened to you over the break when you've been substituting for Mike, and you seem to be a music lover like I am.
Uh-huh, sure. I'm a rock and roll DJ besides being a talk show host.
Okay, well, here's a project for you. I've been hearing a lot of great protest music, new music, that because of the nature of radio today, we don't have the commonality that we did 30 years ago where this music really gets exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can put one of your researchers in and do a program one night that highlights a lot of this new music.
Well, I should. And I don't know if you heard me the other night when I had David Rovix on. Did you hear that?
I'm not sure, no.
Okay. He's been called the Phil Oakes of this generation. His last name is R-O-V-I-C-S, davidrovix.com. Some great music. Some absolutely – sometimes I could think, you know what? I should just be, when I'm substituting for Mike, I should just be a DJ. Play David Rovix, a lot of other great music as well, and that would take care of it. Hey, Bill, thanks for being our last caller. Hey, Sacramento people, get out to that demonstration. Get out to that rally that's happening in Sacramento. Go to Democrats.com, impeachpack.org. Well, let's wish Mike good health, and hopefully he will be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening to the Mike Malloy Show on the Air America Radio Network. Oh, hey, yeah, I wanted to say thank you to Justin and Jason and Dee. Couldn't do it without you guys in New York.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.